my message is called Don't Go Back. We have a choice. Don't go back. Why would we want to go back? We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 to 14 from the ESV version of the Bible. I use different versions. I understand the meanings. I want to delve into the scripture and hear more clearly what God is saying. So Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. It says, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. So the writer begins here with an instruction: take care. It means to be careful to notice, to be on guard, to be alert. Take care that there not be in any one of you. So we're being asked to notice. Are we taking care? Are we alert? Are we on guard about who we are, about the life that we're living? We need to take care. We need to be on guard. So it talks about so that there be not in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart. That word evil on this occasion does not mean somebody who is innately evil, somebody who has no depth of goodness in them. It's not talking about Satan per se, or people who have sold themselves over to him already. In this scenario, it's talking about people who have hurtful hearts. So their thinking, their feelings are hurtful, and they can hurt other people. So it's saying, guard your heart from hurtful thinking, hurtful believing that could damage another, but also can damage yourself. Unbelieving heart. Is there any measure of doubt in you that your decision to serve Christ is correct? Do any of you think, why am I doing this? Is it really true? What are your thoughts and feelings saying to you day after day? I signed up for this thing, but hey, something's gone wrong. He's not really real. He's saying, take care. Take careful note and be careful to notice that the things which take place in our lives don't cause us to begin to doubt what we have believed. Talks about falling away. That's the end result of an unbelieving heart, that you could fall away from everything that you've now learned, received, and believe. It says that we should exhort one another, and it talks about doing that daily. In other words, we should be an encourager to each other so that no one's heart becomes hard and is deceived by sin again. When I look at the sons of thunder as they've been named today, every day they're encouraging each other. Every day they're talking. Every day they're sharing. They're living what the Bible says to do: exhort, encourage one another every day. In the Amplified version, which is my favorite version of all the Bibles that I've ever read, it says, but instead warn, admonish, urge, encourage one another every day, as long as it's called today. In other words, right now. Every time is now, which is now. Encourage one another, that none of you may be hardened into settled rebellion. So by not being encouraged, sin creeps up, and then you settle into that which is opposite to God again, and we don't want that. Don't go back. Hallelujah. So, that was Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Also, in the Amplified version of verse 14, it says, your first newborn confidence and original assured expectation. So where I had read that if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, it's talking about holding fast the first newborn confidence and original assured expectation that we've had. I remember the day that I was born again. I remember it well. I remember my born again experience, the day that Jesus became the Lord of my life. I was 21 years old. It was the 5th of April, 1986. So you've worked out my age. And my friend up there, one, has got this big 60 on his top. I'm just embarrassing him. He's part of our worship team. I'll be 60 in August. Now, if I'm going to be 60 in August, and I was born again when I was 21, that's many years to forget that experience. But I can't. I can't forget what took place that day. I can't forget how I was at a concert and I heard the words to two songs. Choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether God or man, now the choice is yours. The second song said, tomorrow, give your life. Why would you give your life tomorrow? Receive the Lord today. Give your life today, not tomorrow. Those two songs penetrated my heart. I found myself weeping and giving my life to Jesus Christ, and I will never forget it. Do you remember that original experience that you had that caused you to come into the kingdom of God? I'm asking you, don't turn back, don't go back from that original experience. Let it be etched inside of you, whether it was 20 years ago, 50 years ago, or 7 months ago. Don't go back. Let's look at another scripture, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. I'm reading from the New International Version. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, it's impossible for them to be brought back to repentance. What is this talking about? That I gave my life to Christ and I can fall away and then not have another opportunity. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Now, the scripture is more complex due to some people's beliefs. Some people believe the writer was talking to people who have never been born again. Could be the case. Others believe that he was writing to people who were born again. I would say they were, personally. It's my personal belief. But study it for yourselves. You need to know the word for yourselves. You need to understand the revelation of God for yourselves. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher. I believe they were born again because how can you fall away from something you've not experienced? And it's speaking about the person who has experienced the message of Christ and his Holy Spirit in essence. So it says it's impossible. But I love the descriptions here. And I ask this of us. Are we enlightened? Have we been enlightened? Has a light flicked on? Has a revelation come that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And we receive that truth? For those of you at home, are you enlightened? Have you tasted the heavenly gifts? What have you tasted of the Lord? What have you known since you've become born again of his grace, of his peace, of his power, of his mercy? What's happened in your life that you could say, doesn't matter what anybody says to me, I experience this for myself and nobody can tell me there is no God, there is no Jesus Christ. How many of us have shared in the Holy Spirit? all of us if we're born again. Because without the Spirit's help, we could not have a revelation of the truth of Jesus Christ and therefore receive him. So we've all, if we're born again, had a measure, a touch of the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything of ourselves. I'll explain that a little bit shortly. But some have also shared in the fact that they've received this infilling of the Holy Spirit, which we'll hear about more next month on Pentecost Sunday. And some have the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But whether you've had that experience or not, there's something of the Holy Spirit that has touched your life. You've shared in that experience. How about have tasted the goodness of the Word of God? We cannot walk out our Christian journey and life on prayers, on what the preachers say on a Sunday or a Wednesday, on what you hear on YouTube. We walk out our journey with God based only on his word, which is true. No word inside us, no revelation, no growth. Empty. What's in there? Let me encourage us today to taste the goodness of the word of God every single day. What is he saying? What is he revealing? This is how I get to know him. This is what fuels my prayers. I can speak the word into my life. I can speak the word into situations and they change only because of the word of God. So we've got to get rooted. Have we tasted the goodness of the word of God and its power? And what about the powers of the coming age? That scripture talks about it. It means all the world to come. In this world, are we now tasting of and experiencing the power of the kingdom of God? Many of us born again believe and know that we're going into eternal life. We have eternity. That's to come. But even here on earth, we can continually experience his power. And many of us have. Many testimonies are in here. Not just of his saving grace, but the way that he has healed a body. The way that a tumor has disappeared. The way that a mind has been straightened out. We've experienced the power, even in this age. The word, as I said, it keeps us growing and it keeps us firm. So why would we be like that which was written about in Hebrews chapter 6? If we've experienced all of that, why would we want to walk away from it? One of the gentlemen said that in his preaching. Why is he walking away? None of them are going away because they've tasted, they've seen that the Lord is good. This is now their now. This is their today. Each one of you have testified, you want him. You've been searching. You've been looking. Some have been on the edge. Some are completely new. But Christ is your center. So why would we turn away? Verse 6 again, it says, fallen away in Hebrews chapter 6. But that fallen away is talking to people who permanently separate themselves from God. So we have a choice. That's why I said, don't go back. You can choose to go back if you want to. God wouldn't stop you because we have free will. But why would you go back when you have all of this before you? I want to encourage us today. Don't go back. Don't go back from what we have. Even as later on, there'll be this incredible demonstration of these lovely delegates making their public declaration that Jesus Christ is their Lord. It doesn't mean that we won't fail, we won't mess up, we won't sin. But unlike those that were spoken about in Hebrews 6, we choose to ask for forgiveness. We choose to walk with Christ. When we fail, it's not because we want to be away from him, but it's because of our weakness and we need to rely on him and him alone. And that is where the choice comes in, but also the work of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. Those chose to turn away and say no to God and say, I don't believe this after all. But we're not choosing that today. The final scripture that I want to look at is 2 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 21, this chapter talks about false prophets. And so there are people, even in church, they come in, they have their own opinion of what the word means, what the word says, how it should be lived. Others come in purposefully to turn us away from God. So that's what 2 Peter chapter 2 is talking about. And yet, it's possible that he was talking to some who had been fooled and begun to follow the false prophets. And so in verse 21, it says it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. So what was the sacred command? To become born again, to believe the gospel, to believe the message of Jesus Christ. And yet it says so similar in Hebrews 6, it would have been better in the first place if you hadn't known him than to know him and then turn away from him. Don't go back from the sacred commandment. Don't go back from what you've learned, what you've heard, and what you've now begun to live, is my message today. It is better to remain faithful overall. Don't take yourself there, back where you were. You must choose to continue to choose, no matter what. So you take an action and you have a choice. We're on a journey. We haven't got there yet. On a journey, you've got to do something every second in order to get there. If I get in my car and I turn it on and I don't press the pedal to move, I'm not going to go anywhere. So we're on a journey daily with the Lord, daily to encourage, daily to walk, daily to learn the word of God, daily to allow the word of God to steer our lives. It is not of ourselves that we live good, but it is of the power of Jesus Christ. We don't have the power to live right. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. That's why he sent his word. The closer we get to God, the closer we know his word, the more time we give him, the more he gives back to us and guides us and steers us in how we should live. Claudette cannot be good of her own accord. I promise you. Put a box of Ferrero Rocher in front of me and see what happens when I'm supposed to not eat chocolate. We are good because the word of God is so inside of us and it begins to change us. The closer we get, the time we spend with God, the intimate moments with him, and we hear his voice, Elena. You're going to hear his voice calling you, come. He'll share secrets. And then you'll get up and you will live how others would want to live but don't know how, because he empowers us through the knowledge of his word and through the time that we spend with him. Finally, I want to say we need to ask ourselves, what things, what sins do we hold on to? Pride, self-confidence, that overtake us. Our confidence must be in Christ's saving power. Is anything so strong in our lives that we can't let it go? Ask ourselves that question today. Is anything so strong in us that is greater than the power of Jesus Christ? There is nothing worth holding on to than the presence and the power of Jesus. You don't lose your life, you gain it. You don't stop having fun and laughter. You don't stop being in relationships and relating to one another. You live. but with eternity as your goal. And you choose right. You choose that which makes your life better and therefore the lives of others around you better. Don't go back. Choose to go forward. I end with some words from the singer Cody Cairns, a song called The Vow. It echoes words that I'm striving for, and I'm encouraging all of us to go for it and not go back. He says, I need nothing but you, Jesus. All I'm after is your heart. I'm not looking for his hand. I'm not looking for what he can give me or do for me. All I'm after is your heart. Who are you? What's in you? How you love me. How I receive you and know who I am in you. That I can't be removed from you unless I choose, but I want relationship with you. Let me read the before I go somewhere else. I need nothing but you, Jesus. All I'm after is your heart. Destination doesn't matter in that moment. Of course, it matters later. We're going into eternity. Destination doesn't matter when the journey's where you are. I want to be on a journey with Jesus Christ every day of my life. And he ends those words by saying, I just want to be with you. If I could impart something today to anybody, it would be how you love Jesus more and more and nothing else. How you want him more than you want anything else. You see, when you're with him, the things that you worry about every day, when you've given him that intimate time and then you get up to start your day, he shows you how. He opens doors. He closes doors that are wrong. And then you know. And then you know you've been with him. He gives you the solutions when you spend time with him. All I'm after is your heart. Are we fully surrendered to Jesus today so that nothing else matters but Jesus Christ?